John chapter 21. We're going to start in verse number 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto him, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. How many of us guys have ever been there before on a fishing trip? I sure have. Verse number 4, But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. The context up to this is that this is now going to be in John chapter 21, the third time after Jesus Christ has risen from the dead that he will make himself known to his disciples, that he will appear to his disciples. They've seen everything that he's been through. They went into the Garden of Gethsemane with him. They went and they saw that he stood before Pilate. He was crucified on the cross of Calvary. He was buried in the grave for 3 days. And then they saw him rose again. But it was hard for them to believe it. And so now they come here to John chapter 21. And here they are fishing. And Peter and some of the other disciples are there fishing. And they didn't catch anything that night. And they see a man on the shore. They don't know who it is, and he basically asked them, "Have y'all been able to catch anything all night?" And they said, "No." And he said, "Well, why don't you try the other side of the ship?" And it would have been easy for them to dismiss it as, "Well, that's bad fisherman advice. We've already been trying all sides, but we haven't got anything." But no, they followed through, and they followed what he said, and they cast on the other side, and they drew in the net. They could barely draw it in because there were so many fish. And what happens is verse number 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, which was John, saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and had cast himself into the sea. When they drew up that net, when they were drawing that net, and they knew that for something to happen like that, they had been fishing all night, probably tried all the areas around them, and to draw in a multitude of fishes like that, they knew that it was more than just fishing advice, good fishing advice. They knew that this was Jesus Christ. And John recognized that immediately. And when Peter, if you know anything about Peter, you know he gets excited really easy. And he just jumps into the water and he starts swimming towards the shore. And he wants to see Jesus. He loves Jesus. He's zealous about Jesus. He saw him die on the cross for him. He saw him rose again. And he's excited about it. But what's going to transpire in this passage is Peter is going to be confronted. Because as you well know, right before Christ went to the cross of Calvary, Peter was there outside the chief priest's house, and he denied Christ 3 times. And he was humbled. He was humbled. He tried to take a stand for Christ many times, and many times he had to go back on his word. But at this time, he was shamed in front of a lot of people there in the chief priest's house, because he had the chance to take a stand for Christ and to proclaim Christ, but he didn't do it. Instead, he denied Christ. But now here he is, and he's going to get to meet Jesus Christ again. And I can imagine that Peter has a lot of regret. And I can imagine that he's probably thinking back to that night when he had told Jesus, Though all forsake thee, yet I will not forsake thee. And then boom, when the rubber met the road, he fled and he ran away. Now there's been a lot of times in my life, and I'm sure probably in your life, that you've made promises and you've not been able to keep them. When I was growing up, probably like any of you kids, y'all like pets? Y'all like cats and dogs? Yep. So I told my parents that I really wanted a pet. And I said, Mom and Dad, I want a pet. We haven't had a pet. And I really want a dog, of all things, okay? And so My parents, reluctantly, they let me get a dog, and so we got a puppy, and I said, Mom and Dad, I'll take care of this dog, and I'm going to feed it, and I'm going to give it its water, and I'm going to give it a bath, and I'm going to do all those things for that dog, and I'm going to take care of it to the best that I know how. I was excited about this dog. It was a little West Highland Terrier, not a real manly dog, but it was a cute dog, and so it was fun. And I started taking care of it. Man, that first week I was feeding it and I was giving it a bath and I was playing with it and doing all that stuff. And then about the second week, I was like, man, this is hard work. I don't like cleaning up all these messes. I don't like having to feed this dog twice a day at least and give it baths and doesn't like water. And man, I was rethinking this thing. And then I kind of was slacking off a little bit. The dog was getting dirty. My mom was having to feed it and water it. About the third week, that was my mom's dog. Because I was like, man, this is too hard for me. And I had to eat my words. I didn't keep my promise. And then after that, we had that dog for about 12 years. And then I was like, man, I'd sure like to have a hamster. It would be awesome to have a hamster. And so my parents, they got me a guinea pig. We actually got a guinea pig. And so I was taking care of this guinea pig and cleaning out the cage. And one day I took it outside and I was going to clean out the cage. I left it next to the hose and I went back inside and I forgot about it. And then it started raining. In Sri Lanka, it's a tropical island and it rains a lot. And I came back outside and that little hamster drowned in its cage, or that guinea pig. And man, I had to go back on my promise and I felt bad because it died and I didn't take care of it the way I needed to. And then I had one more chance. I said, Mom and Dad, can I have a rabbit? It would be awesome to get a rabbit. And so they let me have a rabbit, okay? And so I got a rabbit and took care of it. And somehow it got out of its cage in the night. And the next morning we found it in the yard and some animal had got it. And so my history with pets is really bad, okay? And that's just an example of how I had to go back on my promises a lot of times. But sometimes we promise people things and we can't keep those promises. Those are just really minor illustrations of a greater truth that sometimes we promise people things in life a lot bigger than taking care of a pet. And as human beings, sometimes we fail on those promises. And here's a place where Peter found himself. He had made a promise to the Lord and he said, Lord, though I'll forsake you, I'll still follow you. And he was zealous for the Lord and he was excited about it. But he forsook the Lord and he broke his promise. And now in verse number, if you follow along in verse number 8, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, and 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, saying, who art thou, Lord, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. So after Peter makes the mistake of denying the Lord, and now the Lord has been crucified and he's risen again, and he's seen the Lord probably twice up to this point, we come to John chapter 21, and Peter goes back to a place that he's comfortable in. He goes back to fishing, because fishing is what his father has raised him in. Fishing is the way that he put food on the table before he met Christ. And in fact, when Christ confronted Peter for the first time in his life, Peter was out fishing. And Peter left all that and he said, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I give my life to you. I'm going to follow you no matter what it is. He essentially surrendered himself to the Lord and he started following the Lord for the 3.5 years of ministry. And he saw everything that the Lord did. He knew who the Lord was. He saw the miracles that he did. He saw him heal people. He saw him do all these wonderful things. And then ultimately he saw him die upon the cross of Calvary. And then, as I just said, he had to go back on his promise. And now Peter was at a place in his life where he was feeling ashamed. He knew the facts about Jesus. He had seen the works of Jesus. He knew that Jesus Christ was in fact God in human flesh. But now he's at a place in his life where he's discouraged. He's down. He's depressed. And he said, I'm going back to what I'm comfortable in. I'm going and fishing. I know I've surrendered to follow the Lord. I know that I gave my life to Him at one point in my life. I know that Jesus told me that He would make me a fisher of men and that I would be a witness for Him. But now I'm going to go back to be a fisher of fish. He's going back to what He's comfortable in. Now Jesus here comes back to the shore and the apostles bring in, the disciples bring in the great multitude of fishes and Jesus says, bring of the fish which ye have now caught and I'll make you some dinner. And nothing is said to Peter about, Jesus doesn't say anything to Peter about, hey Peter, why did you deny me? Why did you forsake me that night when those men came to take me? Why did you run away? Nothing about that was said. In fact, if you go through the Gospels, after Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, Jesus Christ doesn't make any mention of that to Peter. But what does he do? He says, come and dine, in verse number 12. Come, Peter, and eat. He doesn't confront him at this moment. He doesn't say, Peter, why did you deny me? And we would have fully expected the Lord to tear into Peter and say, what were you doing? You promised me everything, but you completely turned around and you didn't come through on your promise. But no, he says, come and dine. And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. Now in verse number 15, this is where we're going to concentrate for the last part here. It says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. When Jesus starts talking to Peter, I can imagine Peter's thinking, okay, here it comes. Jesus is about to let me have it. And man, I know I've failed the Lord and he's going to, He's oh man, it's coming now. But no, what does Jesus ask? He says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And here Christ, as you're probably familiar with this passage, is going to ask Peter three times, do you love me? And that's my question tonight for you, is do you love Jesus? Now it's easy for us just to say, oh yeah, I love Jesus and you know, He saved me, He died on the cross for me and yes, I love Him. But tonight I want to compare this conversation with three degrees of love that as Christians we can have. The first degree of love is that first degree where Peter's saying, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He's saying, of course, Lord, I love you. I'm here. You know, we're eating a meal together. I followed you for those 3 years. I did all those things. And that first degree of love is what a lot of Christians in America would be familiar with today. They would say, yeah, I go to church once a week and man, I know who Jesus is and Jesus does all these things for me and I go to church and they can't really explain their relationship with Christ. They know they go to church. They know who Jesus is. But they don't really have that personal relationship with Him. They don't get into His Word. They don't have prayer time with Him. To love God is more of just a thing where, yes, I went to church. I gave my tithe. I did that. I did this. And it's more of a checklist, that first degree of love. And then we come to verse number 16. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. I can imagine when Peter is asked this the second time, he was just wondering in himself, where is this going? And he's kind of looking down. He's like, Lord, you know that I love thee. And he probably didn't blurt it out and he didn't say, yeah, Lord, I love you. I love you more than all these guys. He didn't do that because he had been humbled so much prior to Christ dying on Calvary. He knew better than to do that at this point. He said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. That second degree of love is what the majority of Christians here tonight might be familiar with. And it's what I was familiar with at one point in my life. I grew up in a Christian home, and as the video stated tonight, I was saved at the age of 4. I surrendered to full-time ministry when I was 12. Then when I was in my teenage years, I kind of had some of my own desires. I wanted to play sports, or I wanted to be a mechanic, some different things like that. But the Lord said, hey, remember when you surrendered at the age of 12? Came to Bible college, and Lord started speaking to me about missions. And I was like, well, at that point, I didn't really want to go back to Sri Lanka. I didn't want to go back into missions and all those things. But God started speaking to my heart and said, hey, you remember when you surrendered back when you were 12? The Lord started speaking to my heart specifically about the 10:40 window. And today, sometimes the Lord speaks to my heart and says, hey, Jeremiah, you're giving too much time to that over there, or too much time to this over there. Even this afternoon when I was going through studying, the Lord is like, maybe you shouldn't give so much time to that. For me, something I can get into a lot of times is, in love, is sports. I love to keep track of football. I love to watch my team. And sometimes I can get so much engulfed in that I forget, man, God has me here for a reason, and I'm not down here to watch football, although there's nothing wrong with football. God needs to be put first. Maybe there was a time in your life when you surrendered to Christ and you said, Lord, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll go into full-time ministry. I'll do whatever you want me to. Lord, whatever it is. And maybe you're like Peter. You've gone through a lot in life, and you've maybe been through a lot of trials, and things have gotten tough, and you said, Lord, this is way too much. I don't think I can do this, Lord. I'm serving you. I'm faithful to my church. But man, Lord, going into full-time ministry, Lord, or witnessing to that coworker who I work with on a daily basis, or witnessing to that lost family member, Lord, that's a little too much, Lord. And a lot of us are stuck in that second degree of love. And what Peter was going to find out was to truly be a disciple of Christ, it takes a third degree love. A place that you come into your life where you say, Lord, I fully surrender. I give it all up. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And verse number 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. That word grieves there means he was offended, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. And this is interesting what Christ says here in verse number 18. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest not. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. If you realize what just happened here, three times the Lord asked Peter, do you love me? Three times Peter says, yes, Lord. And what Jesus says in verse number 18 is that, Peter, if you truly love me, if you're truly going to be a disciple of me, you can't go back to what you're comfortable in. You can't just stay in your comfort zone, where you're comfortable, but you're not really doing anything for me. You're going to have to get outside of your comfort zone. And in verse number 18, he in fact said that, Peter, if you truly follow me the way that I mean for you to follow me, you're going to end up being a martyr for me. You're going to die for me. You're going to give your life. In verse number 19, he said, follow me. This probably reminded Peter of that time when he was out there fishing in a boat, and Christ appeared first to him. And Jesus said to him, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I can imagine Peter was thinking that in his mind. And now here he is again. He's confronted. He's confronted with the question, do I truly love Christ? Not just, yes, I love Christ. I have a Bible. I have the t-shirt. I go to a church. No, not that. Not that first degree kind of love. Not that second degree kind of love where it says, yes, Lord, I'll follow you to this point. But after that, Lord, going to the mission field or being in full-time ministry or going to church every time the doors are open, that's a little bit too much, Lord. No, He wants us to go beyond that point, beyond our comfort zone, even. It says that Peter was grieved, that he was almost offended because he said, if you look at verse number 20, it says, "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, which was John, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do?" Peter's response was, "Well, Lord, what about John over here? What's he going to do for you? Is he going to have to die for you?" But Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Peter, I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about what John's going to do. I don't care about that right now. Peter, are you going to follow me? Or are you going to go back to fishing? He didn't say anything about his past failures. Notice that. He didn't say anything about the time when he failed the Lord. No, he was talking about now. There was a time growing up in Sri Lanka during a teenager that I had the opportunity to play the sport of rugby. And I wanted to play rugby just because we didn't have football over there. So rugby was the next best thing. Okay, so I walked onto the field about the age of 15, and I went into my first rugby practice, and I was like, "Man, I'm going to dominate these guys. Man, I'm going to do so good at this game." And the Sri Lankans, you know, they're built a little bit smaller, and man, I'm a big American, and you know, I was working out at that time, and I felt really good at myself and stuff. But I got to that field, and man, I found out there's some big Sri Lankans. And so I got there, and I still had confidence, and I still thought I was going to do really good. And I did pretty good, you know, the first couple of practices. But then the third practice, we practiced what we called the A-team. And on the A-team, those were the guys that were a lot better than us. Let me just put it that way. And on that team, there's two guys that were from the country of American Samoa. And man, I don't think those guys did anything but spend time in the gym. And so these were big guys. And so we got there, and on this practice, we were supposed to do some tackling drills. And so here it was my turn. And man, I got the ball, and man, one of those American Samoans, they collided with me, and boom, I was on my back on the rugby field. And I was just contemplating my life, and I was like, "What am I doing right now?" And I was like, I was humbled. I was humbled. And I was put down. My pride came from about here all the way down to here in the matter of 2 seconds. And right on that field, I said, "I'm quitting. I'm done. No more rugby for me. This is it." And so my dad picked me up from practice, and I got in the van, and I said, "Dad, this is it. I'm done with rugby. I'm not built for it. I can't play it. I give up." And it was only my third practice, okay? I came in there, Mr. Big Shot. I thought I was going to change the game of rugby for everybody, but no, I was humble. And this is what my dad told me. He said, "Jeremiah, if you give up on this, it's going to be that much easier to give up on everything else for the rest of your life." And we had about a 20-minute drive home, and that was the only thing he said. And it was just going over and over, and just the silence was burning. You know, I didn't know what to say. And I went to my room after we got home, and I said, "All right, I don't want to give up on everything else in life, so I'm going back." And I got back, and by no means, I was not a great rugby player. In fact, I got hurt all the time. I didn't make the team, all that kind of stuff. But there was a young man on that team, and his name was Oliver. And I got to start inviting Oliver to our church there. And Oliver came to church, and he got saved. I got to lead him to the Lord. And the Sunday after that, his two sisters and his mom, they came to church, and they got saved. And they got led to the Lord. And on the third Sunday, this was literally 3 Sundays in a row, on the third Sunday, all of them, Oliver, his two sisters, his mom, they all got baptized, and they joined our church. And what the Lord brought back to my mind is, if I had quit rugby at that point, I wouldn't have got to meet Oliver. He wouldn't have come to church. He wouldn't have got saved. His family wouldn't have got saved. And that night, if my dad hadn't confronted me, I would have completely dropped out. And tonight, this is the confrontation that all of us, that I want all of us to think about, is how much do you love Christ tonight? That first degree where you say, yeah, I love Him, but I'm not doing much for Him. The second degree where you're saying, yes, I'll go up to this point for Christ, but after that, missions, anything like that, that's a little bit too much. You know what? Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China, had to come to a point in his life where he had to surrender. We think about Hudson Taylor as a great missionary, but he said in his journal that one afternoon when he was 17, he wrote his sister in a letter and he requested her to pray for him as he asked God to remove his heart of stone and give him a heart of flesh. Hudson Taylor had to come to a point in his life where he was surrendered. I want to read this quote to you. It says, "It is only through the surrendered life that God can work. God cannot use you in any special way if you're holding back part of your life from Him. If there is one little chamber of which you hold the key and into which God has not fully entered, He cannot greatly use you. Your intellectuality may be great, your genius may be superb, your social standing may be beyond question, but God does not use people for these reasons. God uses them when He has all there is of them, and only then." Does God have all of you tonight? Think about that rich young ruler who said, "Yes, Lord, I'll follow You. I've kept all Your commandments. I've done all these things for You." And then the Lord says to him, "Well, then go sell all your goods to the poor and follow Me." And he had to stop right there and he said, "No, Lord, I can't." He turned his head and he walked back from following the Lord. Are you willing to give up your dreams, your aspirations? Do you love Christ more than your comfort zone, what you're comfortable in? The 1040 window is never going to be reached by first and second degree Christians who love the Lord. The 1040 window contains these countries, four out of the five most populated countries in the world. The first on that list is China. China is a country of over 1.4 billion people. India, a country of over 1.4 billion people. The third largest in the United States, 338 million people. Indonesia, 275 million people. Pakistan, 235 million people. All those numbers represent people that are lost, and the majority of them on their way to hell. Four out of five of those countries in the 1040 window, and of course the fifth country is the United States, right here. God wants to use you tonight. And Peter had to come to a point in his life where we know that he was greatly used of God, and he came to a point where he was used on the day of Pentecost, and over 3,000 people got saved and joined the church. But before that time ever came, Peter had to say, "Lord, whatever it is You want me to do, I'll do it." God has a day of Pentecost for you, if you'll let me use that term. God wants to use you in a great and mighty way. Are you surrendered to Him tonight? Do you have that third degree love for the Lord?